mean, I don't know what to do on that. I really don't. Let's go. What are you thinking?
Call this meeting of the Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. This is our meeting scheduled for 4 o'clock. It is now 10:05.
Bless you. We caught up.
For reasons that this committee did not contribute to. We are starting late, but we have everybody in place at this point, so why don't we go right into we've set some minutes before us that Susan would like us to dispose of.
I suggest we vote now because you may lose your quorum.
Right.
What do you have? Two for May 2nd?
Two for May 2nd.
I'll move on those.
Are we missing the meeting on that day, Gordon?
No, I was here on both.
No.
I'll move May 6th.
Okay.
I can't vote on that.
We have a motion for May 2nd, a motion for May 6th.
I can also move May 9th.
And May 9th. We have a second.
I can vote.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, these minutes are approved as submitted. All right, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 items for discussion. Let's see, all of them are 3 bond acts and a communication. We have with us our Commissioner of Public Works and Transportation, Commissioner John Chu. So why don't we go right into the first item, John?
Okay.
Why don't you just give us a summary of what these are.
Yeah, I don't have the agenda in front of me.
Oh, okay. This is the MOB elevator infrastructure.
Sure. MOB, we are asking for $3.44 million for design, construction, and construction management. This is this includes all the work you don't see. As you know, during the Spano administration, we renovated the 4 passenger car elevators, the inside, the interior of the cab. These are really for the new hoists, new cables, and all the mechanical equipment that's up in the penthouse that you don't normally see. So this is really what they call all the back office operations. We have not undertaken a total rehab of these elevators in terms of the infrastructure for a long time. And what this proposes to do is do the 4 elevator cars here, and there's one freight elevator that's at the lower level that you don't normally see. So it's 5 elevators, and this is all mechanical infrastructure.
So it's like new guts?
New cabling, new motors. It's basically replacing the penthouse, re-roping.
That's a lot of money.
It's bonding for the entire project, including design, construction, and construction management. So if you take out approximately 30% for design and CM, which is the norm, that brings it down to in the low 2.5 million for actual construction.
How come it costs so much for design? What's going to be done at this point in time? Doesn't it just replace it what's already there?
These elevators are designed, there are current standards. We would have to hire a consultant who does elevators for a living. We don't really do elevators in the conventional sense. We bring all the elevators up to current standards. Normally when you do a rehab, you bring it up to current standards. Similar to fire codes. You develop and you built a fire code under the current building code that went 34 years ago. It's almost ADA. When you do it and improve it, you bring it up to current ADA standards.
What's the exact breakdown for the design?
I
So it's really six elevators. I thought you said
five.
Five passenger elevators.
It's four passenger and one freight elevator.
All right, so this is a misprint here. Because it says five passenger elevators and one freight elevator.
Yeah, it's four.
And that price isn't being reduced because it's only four versus five?
No, that was a misprint. That number is always based on four and one. It wasn't based on five and one.
But don't we have five elevators?
One is blank. One is freight. We're not doing the freight. I don't have a breakout, but I can give you a breakdown of design versus construction management. I don't have it here in the budget sheets.
So, John, on this transmittal letter for the secret of the legislation, this is the real rehabilitation of, and it should read four passenger elevators.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sorry. Five passenger elevators. I'm sorry. Five. I'm sorry.
It is five?
Yes, it is five.
All right. But not the freight elevator?
And the freight.
And the freight.
So it is six. I'm sorry.
So it
I stand corrected.
Okay.
Marty? I know this issue. I mean, Gordon raises an issue that is sort of, goes through lots of situations with this design. I know when I raised a couple years ago on electrical projects, was he didn't do anything, it turns out, under state law, we cannot do design-build. But the
right.
point goes, yeah, you have, I don't know, Otis, you got elevator companies, and you said, here's an elevator, do we design-build the whole thing? Are we hampered by state law like the electrical, or is this a situation where we could do a design-build RFP?
We can't do a design-build. What we typically do is...
Well, you can't because of state law? Or
correct, because of state law.
So the same thing that the electrical is under?
Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. Go to an old elevator and have them redo the whole thing.
Yeah, you come in, I mean, these are, say, elevator. We don't, they're elevator companies. That's to have to hire, another outside person designed, then to turn it over to whoever wins the bid. I mean, if it's state law, it's state law. I intended to do something to legislate.
Yeah, design build is something that a lot of agencies like Freeway Authority has wanted to undertake for many years. It's not permitted under state law.
Yeah, so okay. Well, so that is what it is. It's a shame because it just adds like...
You're right. So what happens is we end up having to hire a consultant to design it when in fact you don't have someone who builds it for a living.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay,
how much could the design cost?
I will give you a breakout.
Yeah. I know we use statistics, but right. Usually it's always not as much. But at the end of the day, we've done the cabs. And it's very nice. But in this, this elevator... it's got to be 50 years old, 80 years old, however old the guts of this thing, this old technology. Is there, and I know there'd be costs, but have you taken the time to look at, latest and greatest technology? I mean, maybe the elevator technology hasn't changed that much over the years, but if we're going to rebuild mechanically, what's there for X amount of dollars, one, is there a different technology? If we're ripping the whole guts out, we have a cab aside. Mm-hmm. And is it three times the cost? You know what I'm saying? Have we looked at what else might we go in 2012 technologies or anything else out there?
We'll get you a breakout. We'll call some elevator people and get an idea of what they think is cost based on the scripture work that we're proposing to do.
Because I assume we're going to replace the technology that's there. New cables, new this, new engine, new general, motors, but it's basically upgrading what's there. But you have to sort of take everything out. You're almost gutting the whole thing.
Right,
and rather than simply replacing it, is there a whole new...
If you're looking at the interior rehab that was undertaken for the four cars that we did, the approximate cost per car when you add all of the hidden charges, if you want to call it, was between $250,000 and $300,000. The panels had to be...
For all five?
For each car.
Oh, each car cost $250,000.
Well, because
somebody's making a lot of money.
Because the exterior was about 170. Then we had the service contractor give us the guts for the new panels because everybody wanted LED buttons. Then the voice activation that was in there, that cost X dollars. So it was close to $2 to $2.25 per car. So we spent close to $800,000 doing the cosmetic portion of the work.
Is there a life expectancy that we reached it? Because it seems to me like the elevators are working, they don't constantly break down. I've been in buildings where I've lived in and the elevator's constantly breaking down. They're constantly breaking down, you say, hey, we got to replace it. These seem to be working pretty well, and again, I'm just saying, is there somewhere we can delay this for a while because the money's not there, Have we reached a life expectancy? Are you saying this is now unsafe and we're afraid that somebody's going to be hurt?
It's not unsafe, but as you know, we go through a cautionary process of capital where we replace it before it goes to a point where it becomes a dangerous situation. But I will get you that information. Right?
Is there a life expectancy in these things? I would imagine there's something.
Yeah, there is.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm sure, you know, we have our service contracts, I'm sure these elevators are maintained as well as, you know, any elevators out there we go through. So as Gordon says, we have all the, you know, we maintain them. It'd be good to know when was this last done?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we spend them like Ralph Butler used to give us, you know, 35-year roofs. We have, you don't want to change them after 12 years. So if you, whatever the expectation we put this in, we should get the full life out of this.
I will give you a fact sheet of where we are, how many years, you know, what our experts are saying we should do. Right?
And do you know why the state, you know, is it just politics that this design bill, we can't, governments can't?
When you're procuring a public works bid, it's usually on a lowest qualified bid basis. And this is you know, not unique to the...
Well, we can't bid design build. Go out and the project is designed. It's just design.
Well, how would you... What would be the basis for a water design build? Because you're basically asking someone to do the engineering portion of it, which is professional services, procured differently than actually doing construction, which is on a lowest qualified bid process.
So how would you
negotiate a design build? Because design builds typically are a performance-based contract. It's based on a performance. Here's where I want to be. Now you get me there. You tell me how I get there.
This is where the private industry can do that and the public.
Correct. So this is where I want to be. You get me there. Three guys will come into the room. Everyone will give you a different way to get you to where you want.
We have elevators. We want them to work. We want them to be up to date, to up to code, this, that, and... Exactly.
Seems so, like an awful lot of money, that's all.
I will do some breakout of comparable type of work recently.
I thought we spent a lot of money on roofs. This is a...
So we're going to put this on the back burner now?
Technically, we need to table this point.
I will get you more information.
Is this in budget already, too?
Well, what we're going to do is we can conclude discussion on it and actually schedule a vote with budget.
But maybe we could ask budget to hold off on this till we get the information from John independently.
Yeah, they really should, because, I mean, John deals with us on the substantive aspects of all this.
I'll get you more information. Yeah. No problem.
All right. Okay. The second item before us is exterior repairs. John, this is, once again, it's the MOP.
Is it B014C or B?
Let's see.
There's two of them. This
is 14B.
B, okay.
Is that the $750,000?
Correct.
$750,000 exterior, building exteriors, White Plains Complex.
Right. This phase, the appropriation we're asking for is design, construction, and construction management. It is to replace the fire sprinkler system and miscellaneous repairs in the parking structure. As you know, the board appropriated funds to upgrade the fire alarm system, which we're close to finishing up. This is the second phase of that, which is to replace all the sprinkler systems in the garage.
Which garage, though?
The parking structure, right? MOB parking structure.
Which is now open again. It was closed for way back when it was closed for. Wasn't that closed for security reasons way back when after 9/11, but now?
No, it's been open. It's just one point of entry, which is over in Coopers, manned by the Department of Courts officers. We also have an entrance in the sub-basement. Again, they're all operated by cross cars. And there's a roll-down gate.
It's a state law fire sprinkler system?
Yes, it's that's why we have the fire alarm system.
Protecting the cars?
Why 143 Grant Street? We don't own that, do we?
143 Grant Street, we do own that, yes.
We own that?
We own that building.
Is that the building where the circuit was?
No, that's not. That's 140.
That's 140. That's a leased building.
Oh, okay.
So 143 is Board of Elections.
Board of Elections, all right.
Okay, we own that building and the parking lot.
I knew we owned the Board of Elections. I didn't know.
Now, 140 we don't own. We're in the process of getting out of 140 because the judges are vacating some of the space now. So we're actually in the process of canceling leases.
I see there's no electrical work in this bond act. And we are
the electrical work was already done. The fire alarm system is in construction, near completion.
But, I mean, in terms of light, we didn't put like LED lighting in the garage? Do we have any new
We have been experimenting with LED lighting with NYPA.
Okay.
They have demos. They have demoed four or five different structures in the parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
We are still working with them. We're not really satisfied with any of the structures at this point. By virtue of the coverage area, the LEDs are very bright, but they're very bright for a very small area. So we're still working with them. We've been demoing in the garage.
Because around the country, it's happening now.
Yeah.
What NYPA is doing, but you know, it's happening.
Yes.
And but our demo, the NYPA's demo, didn't quite get to where you're satisfied.
Yes, we're still demoing some more with them. As you know, they're in the process of completing the county center, doing an excellent job.
So
the lighting replacement in the county center.
The little theater?
Little theater.
Still has incandescent light bulbs last night.
You know what? And you know what? I spoke to NYPA because what's happening is that I asked NYPA to take another look because the county center people are very reluctant to change out those fixtures because they are so quaint and nostalgic. What I've told NYPA to do, and I spoke to Commissioner O'Connor, is that I wanted NYPA to go back. I said, because every time I meet with Marty Rutkowski, he reminds me that the little theater still has incandescents. And I don't care what you do, make sure you get all of these. So they've gone back and they brought another, the vendor who's actually doing the lighting improvement minus the little theater.
All you have to do is hang out another 7 months. So then you
it's the right thing to do because, you know, clearly it's one thing to preserve the fixtures, but it's another thing. We're getting tremendous energy savings with the LEDs. We're doing a similar thing in Yonkers.
Yeah.
In the parking garage, you're going to save 50% utilities, which is, we're talking $500,000 or more. We're talking some significant
dollars. Well, I'm curious, maybe Mr. Chin will have another meeting. You know, it's happening around the country when I hear NYPA, because I try to talk to myself, well, we have the demo. Look, they're demoing stuff. It's not working. It's working everywhere. What the hell
No, they are
doing?
Working. They, you know, we're very careful about the little theater because of
the back to the parking garage now.
They're, okay.
It's happening.
It's demo. We're getting there.
John, are there adapters?
They're very old fixtures.
Yeah, but before you even mess with the fixture, is there an adapter that you can use with the old fixture that allows you to...
In the little theater?
Yeah.
That's what I told them to do. I said, you know what? You got to come up with a better plan. I don't care if you take the fixtures out and retrofit them and do something with all of these and put the look at the end. So they told me they would do that because I meet with NYPA monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, the little theater is something you got to do something. I don't care how nostalgic those fixtures are. You've got to come up with something.
Something, right. Yeah.
So that every time the legislature has a meeting, they don't tell me the little theater has incandescents.
Yeah.
And it's true. And Marty's been very consistent for the last several years.
That's right.
And I haven't ignored his request.
Of course, there's only 7 months to go, John.
Marty, I'm going to bring you back with you. You're there now. It's the right thing to do.
Makes sense.
And as you know, we're the sconces along the exterior of the county center. Mm-hmm. Everything in the county center is now going to be upgraded with energy efficient light bulbs. The only one's a little theater by virtue of the fixtures.
Yeah. I told the carousels at Playland. What kind of lighting can we get on to get the LED lights on them?
The carousel Playland has had LEDs. And a few years ago, the board appropriated $200,000 or $300,000
more.
$400,000. And we actually bought all the bulbs. And Parks people put them in. There's like thousands of bulbs out there.
Yeah.
Thousands.
So
that was already done.
Okay.
Yeah. The board was 200, 300, 400.
Parks people
did put
extra bulbs. Threw them
out, probably.
Yeah. Okay. How many Parks people does it take to put in 1,000?
Since we're really going on. What about the canopy that's been out in front of the sidewalk of this building? What is going on there? This is the perpetual...
Well, you see, funny you should ask, okay? Phase one of the facade repairs, B014C, $950,000. Lyndon asked me that this morning.
Uh-huh.
The reason I left the scaffolding out is because until I do the repairs, there's no point in my taking the scaffolding and putting it back.
Yeah.
Scaffolding is very expensive. So I just left it.
Whose scaffolding is that?
I bought that. NYPA's window contractor was in the process of leaving.
Yeah.
I said to them, since I have an impending facade repair job, just leave it in place. So I bought it from them.
So how long has that been there right now, the facade? It's got to be going on at least a year, right?
2 years.
2 years. I mean,
yes.
But we're not paying monthly.
I bought it because monthly, we're paying about $2,000 or $3,000 a month. I could buy it, so... So I actually purchased.
Is anybody maintaining that, making sure everything's okay?
before this.
Funny you should ask. Have you noticed our last storm over the motor pool?
Yes.
All the sides got blown off? Because what we found was that when NYPA put the scaffolding up, mm-hmm. instead of using screws, which is the preferred method, they used nails. So when the wind blew, just whip the nails.
Yeah.
I had my ankle go up and re-screw everything.
See, they sold you a bill of goods.
I didn't have to go with the scaffolding.
So this is part of the $950,000 on the next one that we're
right. Yes, that's
one
part
all,
of the... Yeah, this is going to be... The facade work we estimate to be $2 or $3 million. We're coming in for $1 million in a shot for the next 3 years.
So when will that, if everything gets passed here, what's the expected time for this to be repaired?
I will have this phase in and done before winter and begin to take the scaffolding off where I finish the work.
Before winter of this year?
Yes, if you pass the bond.
And then you'll sell the scaffolding on eBay?
I'll save it.
Put a little
how much, it, how much did you pay for the scaffolding?
For all the scaffolding around the entire perimeter, $45,000. He was looking for $65,000 or $70,000 when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the means book, did all our calculations based on the means book, called some comparative scaffolding companies, what it would cost to purchase new, and then we basically negotiated it down. He thought we were born yesterday. No.
Born at night, but not late.
So we've got Mason repairs, window repairs, replacements, exterior waterproofing, cleaning, facade inspection,
right.
testing, repairs, wall repairs,
right.
painting, security.
I promised you Markham's office is one of the first ones because this office swells up every time it rains.
All right.
So that's actually that one.
Okay.
And as you know, we used about $250,000 last year of our operating to do the piece over in the motor pool alley, because
mm-hmm.
those panels were ready to fall on cars.
And that came out of operating.
That came out of operating.
So are you looking at a piece to replenish that? Or
no.
This is
going the rest of the...
Oh,
we have
okay.
a huge facade that no one ever took a look at. And I had actually given Lyndon pictures of the whole facade this morning. I think he kept it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is including, besides the McCallion office building, it's also the Duronco County Courthouse Park
right.
structure.
Another number of properties, right.
See, to me, $950,000 for all of that work.
No. This is actually just for this building. We haven't even begun to look at it.
But why don't you have BO414C, and it goes, this project involves
yeah, it
the
gives
rehabilitation of building exteriors in the White Plains.
It's complex. This bonding specifically requested for this building.
So it has nothing to do with the Duronco County Courthouse?
The Duronco County Courthouse, we are addressing those issues right now under the existing contract.
Well, isn't this confusing, though? I would have thought you were including it, not only McCallion office building, but everything else that's listed.
Well, it lists basically everything in the White Plains area, including the structure, 112 East Post Road, 85 4th Street, 143. It just basically lists all the White Plains building for sake of simplicity so that we don't come back. It says the White Plains complex. So by saying the White Plains complex, we identify all the buildings within the White Plains complex.
But this specific code 950
is for this building. This building.
Okay, we find this. Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
Perfect timing. We're at Miller House.
Okay, that concludes.
Are we voting these things out?
We have a quorum now, so we can vote these.
The second and third?
Now, Gordon, I just want to ask you a question. I know that you had mentioned in your discussion with the commissioner the information that he's going to provide to us on the first bond act.
Right, the elevators.
Elevator infrastructure. All right. We're waiting for information on those, so why don't we take the next two?
So moved.
Let me bring the Alfredo. Okay. We're up for a vote. We have a motion by Mr. Burrows on BO14B. That's ID number 4175. The motion by Mr. Burrows. We've had the commissioners provided us with an explanation as to what these bond issues are going to address in terms of rehabilitation.
Okay.
We'll move the second and the third one.
Okay. So we have a We do have a, we have a motion. We need a sec, we need a second on the ID 4175.
Second,
sure. Okay, we have a motion and a second. We're on discussion now. Any further discussion at all on that?
I just have one quick question.
Okay.
How did you separate out what's included in 2 and what's included in 3? I guess 4175 and 4176.
Okay.
Yes.
If you,
yeah, one is C, one is B.
Okay.
There's document B014B.
Okay.
Which is 4175.
Right.
And then we took up B014C, 4176. And as you read through, materials. Together with the commissioner's description of the work,
right.
This is how we were able to distinguish at this meeting the difference in the two.
Is there a reason why you put them in two different bonds?
Commissioner,
so the way they've had it.
Oh, okay.
Just for clarity.
Clarity. Okay, fine.
The board doesn't think it's clear, but it's for clarity.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Excuse me, just for clarification for my purposes, C basically deals with this building and the updates to the elevator and out exterior work, as
yeah.
opposed to B, which deals with
the
interior.
Oh, good point, Alfreda. No, the elevator will be B0085, and that's the first bond act on today, but we're going to await information on that, and we will take that up. And we'll have to meet jointly with budget to at least take up that one bond.
Well, there's mislabeling then because it's numbered 4176. And the CEQA status sheet shows under that listing B0114C that it deals with exterior infrastructure repairs.
Do you have number 4174?
No, I have. I'm looking at number 4176.
Okay. All right. Well, 4174, which should be there as well, deals
that's
with
the elevators
elevator.
And the building only.
Okay.
Well,
16,
it's
okay. $33,400,000 and something. That
oh,
one's
okay.
being paid.
All right.
Right.
I'm sorry. Take that out. It deals with exterior repairs too. This building and the courthouse.
That's 4176.
76.
Yeah. Well, it has nothing to do with the courthouse. That's why I thought it was confusing. It only is this building.
I still think
right.
it's confusing, yeah.
Yeah.
The courthouse is included in any event, but as you know, we are in the process. We have a current contract out for the courthouse, and any of the issues will be addressed as part of that contract, which is ongoing and near completion.
Can you turn the mic on? Oh.
Yeah, when you're looking at 4176, and incidentally, just for the record, 4174 was up for discussion. We discussed it today.
Okay.
We're not taking action on it. We're going to item 2. Mm-hmm. When you go to 4175 and 4176, but let me just reference this. 4176, 1, 2, I guess the third paragraph, B014C, project involves the rehabilitation of building exteriors in the White Plains complex. And then the drafter of this decided to describe the White Plains complex. But when you get out of that paragraph
oh, okay.
and go to the next, funding for this component project used for the design, construction management connection with phase one of the facade repairs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the McCallion
okay,
office building
is
particularly
yes.
mentioned. Now, in 4175, the preceding bond act, you have the same type of description of the White Plains complex, but the next paragraph holds in on 112 East Post Road.
Right.
I
thought
it was confusing, too.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Rogowski.
As long as the Commissioner's seat, you mentioned the courthouse. We recently finished that $150 million rehab. Do we anticipate over the next several years, other than paying the $19 to $20 million a year in the bond? That place has held up pretty well. I mean, the construction order work that was done there. Are we going to have a lot of
Right now we are, yes, we are assisting the courts in terms of allowing them to reduce their staffing at this point. As you know, the courts are shutting down much earlier. The rest of the building is still operational. The county clerk operates different hours. And so we've met with the court administration to see what we can do to secure their facility and still allow other county agencies to function within that same footprint of the building. And that includes housekeeping. I've had to change housekeeping. They used to keep court offices till 11 p.m. They have now emptied the building at 8, court offices. So what I've had to do is I normally start my cleaning. I've had Juanio now clean 4 to 8 so that we don't end up keeping any court offices beyond the date, beyond the time that they have to leave. Probation runs 2 days a week. They run a program that ends at 9:30, 10 o'clock. The participants actually arrive in the building, can be screened when the court officer is still there. I've worked out an arrangement with probation where when they finish their program, they get escorted out since probation carries. There isn't really an issue. So I had to work out these arrangements.
So overall, has that affected our cost positively or negatively by that? And then, raise a good point. How does that affect our operating budget? But from a public works, you know, all these rehabs and elevators, the $150 million we spent in that court, is that work holding up, the quality work? Are we going to be able to go a few years without having to put more capital into the courthouse space?
Yes, the last phase is a $31 million bond that actually the courts gave to us to finish up the building.
Right. Okay. So the job was done well?
Yes, we've asked for reimbursement of the final invoice, which had to be submitted to the state March 31st. That's actually the sunset provision of their bond. So we actually vouchered our last payment so that we can recover all of our last costs on that appropriation that the courts gave us. We have a contract which is based on that $31 million, which is just about, they're in punch list right now.
You're satisfied with how that whole work finished up in the
movie? Yes.
Chairman Ryan was involved in getting that whole project.
Yes.
Major showdowns with Lippman and we're not going to see elevator rehabs for millions of dollars.
Actually, we just did some enhancements in one of the elevators that actually carries the prisoners. We work with the correctional department and work with the DA. So, you know, as you know, the courthouse is a secure facility, and that's one of the things that they're very conscious of in terms of providing all the necessary security enhancements.
Correct. Mr. Chairman, just on that point with the county clerk, so did we figure out what we had to do as far as separating off, the second floor?
Is that we think that we can deal with most of the security concerns with our existing security system. As you know, when the courts went to a major rehab, at that time, we sort of indicated to them they had to be on Software House operating system, even though they can build a firewall, which allows us to be able to key in all the access issues. So our security system, of which we've spent millions and millions throughout all of the county facilities, has now come to pay dividends because now we've already walked the space with the court administrative officers, and we feel that we can do this with a series of prox cards and shut the prox cards down at certain times. And for those people who actually work there, their county employees, we can actually track one's progress through the secured area so that, in essence, you're allowing a county employee to be in a secured area and you can track when they come and when they leave. So that's helped a lot. And we've had to install 2 or 3 additional prox card locators to basically accomplish that, and that's ongoing now through our existing file price contractor with the security contractor. So everything's in place. As you know, the courts will be going through another series of layoffs, reductions in White Plains. I think the date is 18th, this week sometime.
This week.
And so I've been told that they're looking at a headcount reduction or demotion of somewhere between 40 and 45 is the number I've been given. So we're going through a massive downsizing. And so we need to be sensitive toward the courts, and we're working very closely with them.
So we have a motion by Mr. Burrows, and we have a second by Mr. Jenkins on 4175. And once again, I'll refer you to that third major paragraph. Read all the way through it. The initial discussion about the prior funding discusses the work at 112 East Post Road. Goes on to read the current bond request for design, construction management, connection to fire sprinkler rehab and the county office building parking structure. So, once again, one last time, is there any other discussion on this? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then 4175 is approved. 4176, is there a motion?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you.
Just a quick question on the item.
Yeah,
I apologize for not being there for the discussion. Is this the completion of this work, Commissioner? Are we going to be able to take down the scaffold, and is that?
Yes, but this is a series of capital requests for the facade. What I intend to do is do the first phase on Court Street, so I can take that scaffolding down and go over the two scaffolding verticals, so I can take those down because those are something you see very visibly, and then work around the building. Okay?
Thanks.
We own that scaffolding.
We bought the scaffolding from the night the contractor was trying to finish the job because it was prudent at that time to purchase that given the condition of our facade. Because as Lyndon asked me this morning, are we in the danger of some of the heat? I said, no, that's why the scaffolding's there.
Okay. And this will take care of the Shimsey's office of the water leakage that we have there, and then
Pete's wall swells up.
That's in Mary Jane.
Yeah, it used to be Pete's office.
Now
it's my office.
Oh, so yeah. He ditched it on you?
Right.
Yes. Yes,
so you got the corner office that swells.
Yes.
He didn't tell you it swelled, huh?
Oh, it swells, so that means it's going to get bigger?
And then in the chamber.
Yeah, mine is getting smaller and smaller.
Right. And in the chamber, that was the least that Bill would take care of.
Bill will care for my office.
Right.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
once again, I just refer you on 4176 to one to the third main large paragraph down on the front page with the summary of the work. I'm sorry. So we have a motion and a second on this as well.
Yep.
Okay. So any further discussion on 4176? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, this item is also approved. The item that follows is, this is a discussion item. It's just an update, John, on the Miller House restoration. I don't know. We figured... I know that we spoke about this since the end of January or since the end of the year, but is there any particular update that can be reported?
One of the charges that we were given to perform was that the boss would reach out to the historical preservation people to ensure that if we moved the Miller House, that in fact it would retain its designation as a historical facility. I think the answer that came back from the SHPO was that most likely. So they didn't give a definitive answer.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly one realizes that the present site is first of all, next to a concrete factory. So clearly you're wasting money by spending and leaving it there. And secondly, the site, when you get in, you get out, you're lucky if you live, because it's a blind turn from your left when you're coming out. Clearly you couldn't make a left, even a right turn out. So that's why Park put that fence up. Because
that's why Washington left, too.
Because Park put up the concrete.
Hey, this is what happens.
I thought it was the concrete that got
landed. So,
they all bridged in.
Now, what the county executive asked me to do was to, at that time, the roof was leaking, and he asked me to put up a tarp.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up a green tarp.
Yeah.
It's tied down. It's very nice and neat.
Yeah.
But clearly, that's a short-term solution. I've already reached out to a mover who actually moves historical building.
Mm-hmm.
He has given me an estimate, and he's moved other buildings, some of which he's dropped, some of which he hasn't dropped, but clearly has insurance.
What was the estimate?
The estimate to move that was around $40,000. What he would have to do is he would have to cut the building in half and move it half and half.
Wow.
By the width of the building and what he would have to drive.
Now,
we basically told him that we were thinking of moving up to Kensico because it's part of the overall Miller estate issue.
Right.
So he knew exactly where we were moving from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And that's how he came up with that proposal. He gave us a written estimate of what he would do and a written estimate for the cost. But that was about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Gasoline has gone up.
Probably a little more expensive, but clearly it's an art as opposed to a science moving these buildings.
Yeah.
So we would have to build a foundation at the new location, bring in the infrastructure, and drop this building on it. and put it back together. So everything's in place to do something with this building. Once the administration makes a decision as to how they want to proceed.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the bond act that we authorized to do this work, right? And so we've got the estimates, we have a plan, it just needs to get executed now. How long would it take to do the concrete work, I guess the foundation work at the new location? And I mean,
right. I know the parks have recommended a new location, but again, I don't know if that's the location. Clearly, Kensico makes a lot of sense because you have a lot of tourism type of activity going on right there, and therefore, it would be a perfect location because it's got ancillary parking, because you need parking to support this type of development. You do have some infrastructure. Kensico, we could add some infrastructure.
Yeah.
So,
you said parks recommended was at the Kensico site, though, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yes.
So at this point in time, we need to have some action done what do we need to do to get the puppy moving from your perspective, Commissioner? The board's already decided what we want to do.
The administration has to basically tell me, you know, do X, Y, Z.
I saw my colleagues with that look about it, you know, it sounds like another personal invitation, right? You know, to have. is it your department's work at this time, Commissioner, or is it the Parks Department?
I do everything.
So
you get
I know that.
I do everything. I move everything.
So you're ready, willing, and able to do it. You just need some kind of word, whether it's from upstairs or someplace, to do it.
Well, the administration. I work for the administration, so if you tell me to do it, I don't.
So
people here on this floor would say you've already been given the mandate to do it, and you should be doing it.
That's the policy decision that I don't interpret.
Actually, it's interesting, Mr. Chairman, because what we did is we adopted a bond act. Right, and the bond act, you know, provided the funding.
Correct.
To do
appropriated a bond for $1.3 million.
To do that. Now, I mean, maybe to have the site work done, we might need to take another action to actually do that.
Chairman, the commissioner announced earlier that he's the only commissioner that comes here without a police escort.
without a police escort and without a personal invitation, right?
Without a subpoena. I was looking for a subpoena.
It's early in the day still. You know, give us some time.
I wanted to frame it. It's like a badge of honor.
If you'd like, we can get you one. Right? But the truth is...
No, the subpoenas, you're supposed to send a fee with that.
you're
not abiding by the proper rules that you don't do that.
So, yeah. Wait, you say $40.
I mean, the shoe leather.
$67. Dukas Tecum. The question at this point, again, we put the finance in place, and it sounds like the money that we put in place, the bonding, was far, you know, excess in what is necessary. I'm not sure. I can't remember what the exact number was.
I think we can do quite a lot with the $1.3 million that the board appropriated.
So on a normal, if it was a project like these other bond acts that we have moved forward, right, we didn't need any additional incentive to get it moving forward. So I understand we'll have to figure out something special.
There's a piece of it that
as much as you put it,
that you will handle, right?
I will handle the relocation and the reconstruction and moving it.
And there's also the issue of exactly where, what's the destination, what's the target.
And that's Parks jurisdiction.
And that's a discussion.
The sighting issue, where does it ultimately get sighted?
That's a discussion between us and the sea and Parks.
Yeah.
Right. Mr. Chairman, in this case, what we may need to do is have the commissioner come back. Well, not your commissioner, Shue. I'm sorry that you won't get a personal invitation, but Commissioner O'Connor, with the site, has the sighting been done as far as you know that they made recommendations?
They made recommendations exactly where they like to see the kids.
Parks at.
Yes, Parks at.
Thank you.
X marks the spot.
Just a question about the 1.3 bond act. It includes not only the the foundation construction, but also I understood a new roof and a lot of
restoration of the existing building in a manner that would maintain its designation.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that at this point in time, I think that we may just have to regroup and ask the commissioner to come at your next available opportunity, commissioner. We may actually have both come if that's what you would like.
Come right upstairs.
And commissioner Fox and bring the exact location where we can.
We have that on a map. Okay. So that's not a problem.
All right, Susan is handing out the couple of sheets.
Thank you, Susan.
That go over some
very
information
helpful
concerning the moving in the Miller House, the scope of work, cost estimate. Mm-hmm. It's some of you may have seen this before, but in any event. All right, so I think we have a pretty clear idea. John, the this what summary of events surrounding
the... What I provided to you was a blow-by-blow description of the recent problem at the answer.
Yeah, the lab malfunction.
It's something that it was actually initiated by the fact that we were doing our PM. We do our preventive maintenance on all four of the fans, which basically creates the negative pressure in the lab, which is what the lab has to operate under, negative pressure. Okay. And after we did the PM and tried to restart the fans, they wouldn't restart. And then we went through a series of events, which I identified for you by day, time of day. And we basically one of the motors burnt out, we put it back, the motor didn't work again, we took a spare motor that was on the shelf, because we keep a backup, that motor failed. So it's almost a series of chain events of what shouldn't happen, that happened. We have ultimately gotten it back operationally on Wednesday of last week, mm-hmm. and everything seems to be functioning fine. I've been tracking this. I know that we were on heightened alert, and I know that Commissioner Sutton emailed me several times, and I had staff working on it. As you know, they were there Saturday, and it's a very difficult thing to troubleshoot, but we actually have it back online. And I gave you a blow-by-blow, hour-by-hour, in terms of all the events that occurred. I know that I got an email from someone, from one of the committee secretaries, to give you a little summary, and that's why I provided you a summary of blow-by-blows to what happened.
Was there any danger of release of pathogen as a result?
I will tell you that I built the anthrax lab 4 years ago. 800 square feet cost $800,000. It's $100,000 per square foot. It's a facility that, from what I understand, from the day that we opened it, we've never really tested. We've tested a lot of things that look like anthrax, but we've never tested anthrax. Okay. It's under negative pressure. It's got UV for germs. It's got a washout thing. It's got a shower. It's got a pass-through for security. It's a very, very sophisticated.
As far as we know, a single molecule of cell of anthrax has never passed through the door. Okay.
Okay, this was just an issue where we had a heightened alert, and therefore possibly there'd be additional samples coming in. And there was a concern that if the lab was down for any significant amount of time, that we'd be holding samples that potentially we don't know what the substance of the samples would be.
Right.
So it just occurred at the same time as the heightened alert, and it's just one of those things. This has been around for 4 years, and this is the first time we've had it down for 3 or 4 days. But again, you know...
Yeah, I appreciate the breakdown. Look at this. What happened? A new motor was installed, and then that motor shorted out.
Yeah, we have a backup motor. Yeah. We always have for critical facilities backup motors.
And that backup motor failed.
Yes, we didn't think it was, and ultimately, as you noticed, the troubleshooting.
Yeah, when I get the whole thing, it was that second motor also failed, but then when the third motor went in, it was running over amperage.
Yes.
Is there a reason why that was over
amperage? Well, we actually have an EMF on call to us on a service contract. He does actually all control settings, and actually you can adjust the amperage. On the pulleys, there's a limit as to how, there's a threshold at which there's adjustments on those motors. And he's the expert, so we called him in to make those adjustments.
We bought a larger pulley, so the pulley was not getting the amperage. Right, but we went through three motors, and the one that was stuck for a second.
Yeah.
Sounds like the NRC didn't need a point. Right?
Well, so what I asked him to do was in the future when
yeah, but there was no pathogens.
Because that spare motor has been sitting on a shelf for 3 years. So I told him in the future when you get a spare motor, switch it out and let it exercise every few months. This way it doesn't sit there idle because then when you do need it, guess what? It fails.
And that's just what happened to your point. Some stuff sits around when
you find it. I can't vouch for your point.
Do we have any reporting responsibilities that regulators
would know? We are the only lab other than Omi that's certified to do this kind of testing. Mm-hmm. That's why we spent so much money building it. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful facility. Have you guys ever seen it?
I don't know.
Just go on a field trip one day.
Field trip.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, so basically, again, it was just routine maintenance.
We did routine maintenance, shut the motors down, and then us. So I said to my staff, you were being diligent, and you screwed up the system. So he said, no. It was electrical. Once you shut the system down, sometimes it doesn't restart, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. John, thank you very much.
Anything else? I'm here.
One quick question.
Yes.
Whatever you have at this point, a concept drawing or whatever of the...
Jackson, I'm actually trying to set up a meeting with Matt, and I think I'll fly. Yes.
Okay.
I would invite you, but I can't invite you.
Wow.
We've been trying to set up a meeting with Tom to go over with our staff and his staff what we think we've come up with.
Okay.
And we're trying to confirm that meeting.
Okay.
All right. And I've given them cross sections and, you know, some I've asked the planning staff to drive by and do a visual for me because there's a lot of rocks on that side. Those are details. I mean, you know.
All right.
We are trying to set up a meeting with Baden. Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
Did Jim Robinson comment at all on the bonding for the small, expensive design on Route 22 North Broadway, as opposed to the much larger construction costs in two successive years?
He didn't, but you know, normally the design for North Broadway is only the consultant. We're only paying like low hundreds.
Yeah.
And typically, we never bond design. We usually bond the whole thing at one shot. For some reason, they bonded the design last year, which means that we have to wait a full calendar year before we go for construction bonding.
Now, that was the question Jim was going to shed some light on, right? Because this thing now is taking on a life of its own in just 3 days,
Okay.
There's something working through the pipeline.
We did the design, we bonded.
We are in design right now with a consultant. I had already out the bid. We had actually, our department had asked for construction bonding for this year, and we were told, whoa, we bonded the design, you got to wait 12 months, so we actually pulled it back. Mm-hmm. We were ready to go for bonding because we know North Broadway is in pretty bad shape, especially along the curb lane with all the snow being piled up for a good part of the winter. It's pretty crappy.
Yeah.
John
and I spoke last week. I went down the length of that on Saturday. I tell you, if there's the road is so rough that I was afraid I might damage the tire, damage the alignment, blow out or something. So I got out of that lane, and he's right. It's running northbound on the road, right next to the curb.
The curb line is bad.
And there's a stretch there that. A pretty significant damage to the road, and if any of that could even be patched in the as an interim measure, that might.
That was a question I have the chairman. Wouldn't that constitute a safety emergency that we would be required that we could go out for a special emergency scenario, right?
Special emergency bonding.
Yeah. I mean, if it's as bad if you have standards that, I mean, obviously...
There's no doubt that North Broadway was in bad shape a couple of years ago. This winter just put it into a different light. So, I think what you could do is have your counsel here render an opinion as to whether that 12-month scenario would apply in the event that we have a situation which is a life safety issue.
We might ask that too.
It could very well driving with traffic up there.
No, absolutely.
And as people all of a sudden hit this and they get real nervous about the fact that they're in this bad stretch.
And then they try to pass you in the right lane is even worse than the center lane. No, I mean, we have no issue. I actually tried to move the bond earlier this year knowing how bad it was. and we were told that we couldn't, so I backed it off and put it in for the first quarter of 12, which, if we have another bad winter, you won't be able to drive that road.
It sounds, Mr. Chairman, as it is clearly an emergency situation that we should investigate, so if we we're going to do you, the staff, to get that, between that and our law department, always.
Yeah, well, like I said, this is, John and I talked about last year, this is going to come to a head in front of a couple of hundred people tomorrow night, so the, I think that probably is an alternative that might calm things down.
Yeah. We're ready to go with it, it's a simple mill and pay.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of simple,
yeah.
Not simple in dollars, but simple in terms of doing the work.
How long, if we were able, if we did an emergency contract on it, I mean, would it be, is it 6 week, is it 6 week turnaround to
get
it?
I'll get it done before November for you.
No, we're...
It's a mill pay. It's a mill pay. Mill pay jobs go out. All the asphalt contractors are dying for work right now. As you notice,
yes.
The last one that I went out to bid, where I thought my guys told me it was going to come in around $1.2 million, the low bidder came in under $800, and the second low bidder was $8,000 a part. So I'm getting really good prices. So
let's do it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's figure it out.
The last item on here, and. John, thank you. We're just in a receive and file section. So, say
okay.
Enjoy the evening.
And Mr. Chairman, yeah, we're going to get the bids on Wednesday for the Camp Morton Electrical.
Okay.
I will award as an added starter contingent on the bond passing, and I will tell the contractor they can't pay me until you guys pass the bond. All right?
Thank you.
Because we need to get that thing, otherwise the kids have nowhere to go.
No, we got to get it done.
All right?
Thank you. All right, let me just go up.
Thank you.
We have six items that we can quickly receive and file. I believe, but I want the members to look at these, I believe that our work as a board has gone beyond most of these. The first two are the Children's Museum. We're very advanced with that in light of the action that we took today with the lease and public hearing.
Would you want to wait until after they pass through the board?
I mean, we could, but
it's up to you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. I think that otherwise, I would so move that they would be received and filed, since we are at a point for those people that there's no necessary. And the crane design doesn't make sense. So move, Mr. Chairman, on all six items, 1 through 6.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Mary Jane.
She's
good. Mary Jane?
Mary.
Get that folks understand the quorum requirement.
They don't.
Yeah,
this is bad, too. The conflict between appointments, whether it's a con day or not, the conflict between appointments of this committee. All right. Marty, we're just receiving filing six items. We have a motion and a second.
Mr. Jenkins says it's okay. I'm voting.
All right.
Wow.
Aye.
On the record. Right. On the record, thank you. Aye.
Those six items are received and filed. Motion to adjourn.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
No objection. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.